Hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. Quite a lot has occurred since I last gave you an update about the work of the church in French-speaking areas, so that's what I intend to do today. My wife and I made a long trip during the Autumn Festivals of God. We first flew through Paris to visit our brethren on the Indian Ocean islands of Mauritius, where we spent the Sabbath of September 20th, then Réunion, where we spent the Feast of Trumpets. From Réunion, we traveled through Madagascar and Kenya on our way to Zambia, where we spent the next Sabbath with a small group of our brethren along the border between Zambia and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We had a meeting with them. I supplied them with some assistance so that they would be able to buy a small screen and battery apparatus to allow them to watch sermon videos during the Feast of Tabernacles. They were very thankful for the visit and for the help we provided on behalf of the church. We then transited through Ethiopia on the way to Rwanda to visit with our elder there, Mr. Jean-Marie Mundelli, and his wife. They were both facing very serious health trials. At that time, Mr. Mundelli was truly at death's door. He had not been able to eat for weeks and was essentially starving to death. Shortly after our visit, doctors inserted a feeding tube into his stomach to allow nourishment. Presently, he's recovering strength, and his days are not in danger, though he is still very weak. Mrs. Mundelli had to have an operation on her spine, and she also is slowly recovering. We had planned to hold half the Feast of Tabernacles for our Rwandan brethren in Uganda, since it's not possible to do so presently in their own country. We did hold 3 days of the feast in the town of Ntungamo before corrupt policemen and soldiers stopped our celebration and eventually arrested and detained us all. They simply wanted to extort money from me to release us, which I was forced to do. Had I been alone, I might have handled the situation differently. I've had to do so several times in the past. But I could not leave our brethren in a jail cell indefinitely. So I paid, and we were immediately released. This was an unpleasant experience, an illustration of how corrupt and evil is the world in which we presently live. But this has been the case throughout human history. Today, in the West, we still live in a bubble of stability with an expectation of the rule of law. But even in the first century, the time of Jesus, when soldiers came to John the Baptist and asked him how they should show repentance, Luke chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, 'What shall we do?' And he said unto them, 'Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Soldiers at that time routinely committed violence against unarmed people and accused them falsely in order to extort money from them. And that is exactly what happened to us. But our Rwandan brethren bore it with grace. I think some of us in more law-abiding countries might have been tempted to complain. Why would God allow this to happen during his feast when we were just trying to obey him? But our African brethren don't have much expectation of fairness or of the rule of law. They didn't complain, but simply gave thanks to God when deliverance finally arrived. One of them told me, "Thanks be to God who has delivered us from the hands of these policemen." Before leaving, however, I did strongly chastise the corrupt policemen. I wagged my finger in their faces, and I told them that God would call them into judgment for their lies and their theft. In response, one of them shouted at me that I was not God, and I told him, no, I was not God, but I worked for him, and God knew their names and what they were doing, and there would be punishment unless they repented. I don't know when God will choose to deal with these men, but sooner or later, he will. We traveled by road back to Rwanda to catch our flight to Paris, then connected to Montpellier, near where we celebrated the last half of the Feast of Tabernacles. The feast in France went very smoothly and well. We hosted a wonderful group of brethren under sunny skies with warm temperatures. The messages were stimulating and the fellowship warm and encouraging. The excursions to sites of historic interest were also quite interesting. Several of us spent the following Sabbath in the London area. We had a pleasant day of fellowship and shared a dinner with a number of our brethren. Shortly thereafter, instead of flying back to the United States, a group of 15 of us returned to America on the Queen Mary II, the last of the great ocean liners still in operation. Ocean liners have thicker hulls, than cruise ships and special stabilizers to allow them to safely navigate turbulent oceans. This is a unique experience and actually surprisingly affordable. To see the Atlantic from the middle of it at water level is a fascinating event. We arrived on Friday in New York, and on the Sabbath I gave the sermon in the congregation in Queens, where we spent a very enjoyable Sabbath, including a wonderful potluck meal. Our pastor there, Mr. Kevin Epps, and his lovely wife Belinda gave us a warm welcome, and it was a pleasure to fellowship with our brethren from that area, the area around New York. And finally, the next day, Marjolaine and I flew back to Dallas. By the end of November, Mr. Modelli had recovered enough strength for us to discuss contingency plans if he were not able to return to his ministerial functions, which so far he's not been able to do. So I flew back to Rwanda for several days of meetings with him to plan an alternative structure that would allow us to serve our brethren in the country. My visit was encouraging to the Mondellis and to our Rwandan brethren, and we were able to establish a plan that would allow us to continue our service to our brethren there in the event Mr. Mondelli would be unable to return to his long and faithful service as an elder. A week after my return from Rwanda, we had this year's annual in-person meeting of the Ministerial Board of Directors, starting on the afternoon of Monday, December 8th. This was preceded by a half-day morning meeting of the international team under the guidance of our operation manager for areas outside the United States, Mr. Doug Horchak. He asked each regional director and senior pastor to give a brief update on events and trends in our respective areas. We then discussed progress in the International Leadership Program and how we should be following up. And finally, there was a presentation on standardizing our budgeting procedures. I'll admit, not the most fascinating subject, but one that is necessary to the smooth functioning of our operations. The MBOD meetings began after lunch. Mr. Frank started, as usual, by giving an update on the state of the church. This was followed by an explanation and discussion of the strategic and operation plans for 2026. Strategy is the broad overview of issues facing the church and its work. Operations concern specific programs to be continued or implemented. Both are important to successfully carrying out the mission God has given His church. Mr. Franks presented the strategic plan. Then Mr. Kylo presented the operation plan for media. Mr. Dave Myers, the operations plan for ministerial services. And Mr. Horchak, the plan for international operations. The last item of the day was the introduction of the proposed budget. That night we gathered for dinner at the Horchak's home for an enjoyable meal and warm fellowship. Tuesday morning we continued the explanation and discussion of the proposed budget. By the end of the morning, we were able to ballot on the plans and the budget, which were unanimously approved. Mr. Franks gave an update on the construction of our education center, which has started and should be completed by next year. In the afternoon, we heard reports from Mr. Don Henson, the chairman of the Doctrine Committee, from Dr. Ralph Levy on the work of Foundation Institute, and from Mr. Clyde Kylo about plans for media operations, then from Mr. Franks about the Foundation Outreach International nonprofit charity. We finished today with a report from Mr. Al Garrett, the church's legal counsel. Tuesday evening, we gathered at the Franks' home for dinner and more wonderful fellowship. Wednesday morning, our final discussion was about planning for the future, a topic to which we return often. Imagining various scenarios for the future of the work of the church is really one of the most important activities of both our administration and of the Board of Directors. Several of us have said this before, but I will note again that it is a great pleasure to work together in a spirit of brotherhood and friendship. It has not always been this way in our church history, so we don't take this for granted. We look forward to gathering and to putting our heads together to seek God's will for our part of the work of the church. Right after these meetings, I flew to Montreal to spend a Sabbath with the Montreal congregation and to spend a day and a half with Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Harper and their children. Mr. Harper is the pastor of the Montreal and Toronto congregations and does very fine work. We try to touch bases in person a few times each year to discuss the progress of the work of God in Canada. As I'm sure you know, the Canadian winter is quite different from that of Texas. Temperatures were well below freezing with periodic snow flurries, The highways were not all clear, and cars slipped and slid along city streets, but all went well for my visit. I spent 2 nights at their home, and we had very helpful discussions. On my return home, I went from temperatures in the 20 degrees Fahrenheit to about 60 in Dallas. I can tell you, 60 degrees felt quite balmy after my few days in Canada. Well, these past months show well how the work of God is going on all around the world, from the tropics to the frigid north, from areas suffering under serious poverty and corruption to some of the wealthiest and most stable places on the planet. I'm often struck in my travels by how this must be the work of God, to call people in such remote and varied places in the world, yet to see these people in all these areas bound together by an understanding and a love of the truth of God, and a longing for the kingdom of God to come. We can all be thankful to have been called to be part of this work. Well, that's all for this week. There will not be an In Accord for the next 2 weekends due to the Winter Family Weekend and the end of Roman year holidays when our office will be closed. So for now, from all of us in the headquarters office, I wish you all a very restful Sabbath.